All right, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see all of you this morning. Visiting with us, we're delighted to have you. We welcome you and just invite you to take part in our service today fully in worship of the risen Lord. It is an honor to have you here with us. Well, it's good to be here today. I want to recognize Dorothy. It's so good to see her back this morning. What a blessing it is to have her here with us. The Lord is blessed her and her family tremendously, and we'll continue to pray for you through this time. Good to have Beth here as well. Been in town taking care of her mom a little bit during this time. But the whole Seymour family. And also we're rejoicing to thank the Lord for another addition to the church family. Baby Frankie was born last night. Is it Frank or Frankie? Frank? I thought I saw Frankie somewhere. So he's got so many names, I'm not going to be able to keep up with it, which is which. But Frank was born last night, so he is in the NICU. I got a text earlier from Trey and said that he had just heard that he's doing better, so they were able to go see him, or Trey was able to go see him this morning. So Frank is in the NICU, but I think doing okay right now. But we want to keep praying for Taylor and Trey and baby Frank as he gets all better, and they'll be coming home no doubt before long. I wanted to remind you folks that we're planning on moving back to the auditorium next Sunday morning, and the game plan will be to sort of tear down the gym tonight, as far as, like, not the building, but tear down the chairs and stack those up, move them around a little bit. If we see as we're going through these next few weeks that we are too cramped in the auditorium, or folks feel uncomfortable over there, then we'll certainly make arrangements for us to move back over here into the gym, and it's just something we'll have to set up on a weekly basis. The reason for that is because LCA is getting started back up Friday, as far as all the classes on Friday, and the gym is utilized for school. So that's going on, and we'll see how it goes, but it's good problem to have to deal with if we're too many for the auditorium and need to move back over here. I also want to remind you that the offering, if you would like to give an offering, you can do that by putting it in the drop box over there by the door, or you can give online through our church app or through our website, either one. I appreciate your faithfulness. We do as a church appreciate the faithfulness of our folks to give over the last few months. The Lord has blessed and provided for all of our needs during that time. Please open your Bibles to the book of Galatians this morning. Chapter 3, verses 26 through 29 is the passage that we will be looking at again this morning. I started talking to you last week about the results of the straightforward gospel. The results of the straightforward gospel. I gave you 4 points from this text. 4 things that the straightforward gospel does. It gives us a new family, a new identity, new unity and a new security. A new family, a new identity, a new unity, and a new security. I then began to share with you 4 exhortations that we're going to be picking back up on this week. The 4 exhortations, the first one is an exhortation to faith in Christ. The second one is an exhortation to baptism, both spiritual and physical. The third is an exhortation to a gospel approach to racial, social, and gender equality. So that's a lot I've already given you. So let's look at Galatians 3, 26 through 29. And I'll read that aloud for us this morning and kind of remind you of the points as we go through that. Before I do read it, though, let me please pray for us today. Father, thank you so much for this assembly this morning. Father, I thank you for each person who is here. Lord, each person is a soul who is here, Lord, who will one day stand before Jesus Christ. Lord, a soul that will, Lord, last for eternity, whether it be in the presence of Christ as a redeemed saint in body, soul, and spirit, or one, Lord, who is under the wrath of God for all of eternity. And it is my prayer today that, Lord, through the preaching of your word, God, that the message of the cross would be an aroma of life to all who are here. And Lord, I pray that the word that is preached here Sunday in and Sunday out and Wednesday in and Wednesday out as it falls upon the ears of young children, oh Lord, I pray that that word will come to them, Lord, and that it will be to them wisdom unto salvation that is through faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that for all of us we'll be built up in this most holy word, because we know that it does not point, Lord, to us. The end is not us, but it is God, it is Christ, and Him magnified. And I pray, Lord, that the result would be through the preaching of Your word, Lord, Christ being formed in us more fully. In Jesus' name now, Lord, I ask for Your blessings upon this time and Your word. Amen. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. You see in verse 26, the first point, that the gospel, or the straightforward gospel, does this, number one, gives us a new family. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean that all people are sons of God, but it means that all people through faith in Jesus are truly sons of God. They've been born of God. Number two, we saw in verse 27 that you have a new identity because of the straightforward gospel. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So we have a new identity being baptized into Christ and then having put that on, like you put on a new garment. So we have a new identity. The idea of putting on there throughout the New Testament gives the idea of no longer conducting ourselves the way that we formerly did before coming to know Christ, but as in Romans chapter 13, verse 14, Paul wrote and told the Romans to put on Christ Jesus, put on Jesus Christ, and no longer make provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. And then that brings us to number three, where we see here a new unity. Because in verse 28 it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So that's the new unity that is given because of the straightforward gospel. And then the last one is, there is a new security. Because in verse 29 he says, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, please think about this, and I'm going to try to restate it similar to what I did last week, because I want us to get this. If you look at verse 29 again, just by way of exposition here a little bit, when he's talking about this Abraham seed and he's talking about heirs according to the promise, I hope that you remember that, you know, all the things that we've looked at so far in Galatians 3, and he referenced Abraham a whole lot in this chapter and in some of the scripture concerning Abraham in the Old Testament. For instance, we saw that it was a promise was made to Abraham that through him all the earth would be blessed. And we also saw that through him, through his seed, the earth would be blessed. All the nations of the earth would be blessed. And that his descendants would inherit all of these blessings. So in the first part where it says Abraham's seed, he's referring to believers there, whether you are Jew or Greek, whether you're male or female, whether you're slave or free, all who are in Christ are a part of that blessing. They are a part of that promise. They are that seed of Abraham, where Abraham is told that his descendants will receive these blessings. We are that if you are in Jesus. Number two there, we are heirs according to the promise. He's saying there in that you are the recipients of the blessings, that we've gotten that. We have received that, and it ultimately ends in righteousness. We have believed God, and therefore it was accounted to us as righteousness, just like it was accounted to Abraham. All right, so there in verse 29, I just recommend and encourage you. I know I don't explain that very well, but going back and looking through that and remembering the idea of the seed and the promises given. So I began the exhortations last week, the four exhortations, and I want to pick up there this week. I exhorted you to faith in Jesus Christ, because it's only through that faith that you can become a son of God. Here at New Life Baptist Church, that is what we believe. That is what the Bible teaches. That the only way any man, woman, boy, or girl, no matter what color you are, no matter what nation you are from, any person will only be justified before a holy God through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's it. There's no other way. There's no other way to be justified. The Bible says that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to those who believe. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for those who believe. So, the Scripture teaches that, and I exhort you to faith in Christ. If you've never believed the gospel today, believe in Christ Jesus and what He has done. The Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Amen. Now, the second exhortation that I shared with you last week was an exhortation to baptism, spiritual and physical. And I reminded you there that the baptism that Paul is referring to here, it may or may not be speaking of water. We know that according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, that a person is baptized into Christ. How? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. That's a work of the Spirit. It's being born again. And it is something that only the Spirit of God can do. But at the same time in the New Testament, when we read the word baptism, and it seems like in the New Testament when the apostles taught about baptism and performed baptism, baptizing people, that the person's salvation, their new birth, and that baptism went hand in hand with one another. So we do not want to diminish at all the ordinance of baptism. The New Testament church has been given two ordinances by the Lord. Some would call these sacraments. But these two ordinances are the Lord's Supper or communion and baptism. And in baptism, we see the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Where a man or woman, male or female, goes down into the water being buried with Christ. But then they are raised up out of that water. Praise God, we're raised up out of the water, right? And you're raised to walk in newness of life. It shows that you have washed away your sins through the blood of Christ, and you've been risen, and now you are a new person to walk in newness of life. The Bible says that everyone who is in Christ is a new what? Creation. That's right. Old things have passed away, but all things have become new. Paul will later on in the book of Galatians say that circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing but a new creation. You can be baptized 100 times, but if you have not had the spiritual work of God done in your heart, then those many baptisms will not do you any good. Listen to me. Listen to me this morning. Do not place your confidence in your baptism. Do not go before God one day and stand there saying, "Oh Lord, I was baptized." Your baptism is not your confidence before God. Your confidence before God. And what can any of us say if we stand before God and He asks us such a question? Why should I let you into heaven? My righteousness is Christ. My righteousness is Jesus. That's it. That's all I've got, Lord, the righteousness of Christ. And if that's not enough, then I'm sunk. But Lord, according to your word, the righteousness of Christ is what I need. You see, it's not just the physical act of baptism that's going to save anybody, but it must be a spiritual work. In Titus chapter 3, Paul wrote there and he said that we are saved not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the washing of regeneration. A new birth and a renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's the beauty of what Galatians has been talking about, that Jesus doesn't just clean us up and then leave us there. But he replaces all of that that was there before with the Spirit of God. And then that Spirit of God in us causes us to fulfill the righteous requirement of the law. We can now love one another. We can now love God. We can now desire God's word and desire God's people and hate sin for what it is. See, God does a work of regeneration. So, having said all that, I do want to make another note that that does not mean that we diminish baptism, water baptism, because that is something the Lord's given to us as a church. And it's safe to say that your walk with Christ or your Christian life, in an essence, begins at the waters of baptism. Because is there in the Bible any Christian who has not been baptized? In the book of Acts, of course, we have the thief on the cross, but I would remind you that there was only one deathbed salvation in the scripture. As J.C. Ryle said, there was only one that none may despair, but there was only one that none may presume. Do not presume upon this. You see, if we see scripture saying that we as followers of Christ who believed in the gospel go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Jesus had in mind there not baptizing them with the Spirit, but baptizing them in water in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So there is this ordinance that is given to the New Testament church that Jesus has said to do. It's not optional. It's not something we can choose to do it and be a Christian or not. Christ has commanded us to do that. And as we looked to the book of Acts, as I reminded you last week, we saw it over and over and over again. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 22, where there are these people who come to believe the gospel, and then what do? They are baptized in water. Even that Philippian jailer in the middle of the night, it was so important that even in the middle of the night, Paul took him and his household and baptized him in water. So I ask you this morning, if you've believed in Jesus, if you've been born again, if you're confident and you completely believe that Christ Jesus is the Son of God, that you are a sinner, that you need a Savior, and that Christ died for your sins, and He was buried, and He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to people, if you believe that, what hinders you from being baptized? What hinders you from doing what Christ has said to do in His Word if you want to be a follower of His? I, for one, was baptized when I was 10 years old, but that made no difference in my life because I was not yet born again. There had been no spiritual change in my heart. But when I was 17 years old, Christ did a work in my life. I was born again and things changed, and I've been different ever since then. And that baptism at 10 made no difference for me, but after I was 17 and God saved me, I kind of struggled with it for a while. Should I be baptized again? What should I do? And then I came to understanding that I should be baptized, and I was baptized again as a believer. You see, the common thing that we see in the New Testament is that believers are baptized. Believers are baptized. You can look through the book of Acts and see that over and over again. So I go through all of that this morning to beg you, do not place your confidence in your baptism. But if your confidence is in Christ, you should be baptized. Y'all understand what I'm saying this morning? If your confidence is in Jesus Christ, you should be baptized as a follower of Christ. All right. That brings us to our third exhortation. Number three is an exhortation to a gospel approach to racial, social, and gender equality issues of our day. And I will admit I'm very uncomfortable talking about these types of things, whether it be one-on-one or publicly. Now, as we look at this passage in Galatians 3, 26 through 29, you really kind of see that this is at the center of this book. There's three chapters before it. There's three chapters after it. Right here in the middle, and I don't know if Paul and the Holy Spirit intended it that way or not, but it is central. This idea of justification by faith and who we are in Jesus Christ. In verse 28, we saw there that we have a new unity. And because of those things, let's just read the verse again, because I really want us to focus in on this and see, I hope, how it connects today. There is neither Jew nor Greek. So basically in that day, there were Jews and there was everybody else. It was either Gentiles or Greeks, whichever way that they were referred to. Greek life is what people lived, spoke the Greek language. They enjoyed the roads that had come along after that time. So the Greek culture was central during that day. So there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. Every church in that day was made up of three categories of people. You were either a free man, you were a freed man, or you were a slave. All right, three categories. You were a free man, you were a freed man. That means you were once a slave, but now you've been set free. You've had your freedom bought, or you are a slave. So here he says of them in verse 28, or of this social class, that in Christ there is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. There's neither man nor woman. That doesn't mean that God takes away all of the distinguishments in our lives during our stay here on this earth. There are different roles and different guidelines for each type of person in the church. In the last part of that, he says, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So today we see a lot of different issues. You know, you can't turn on the news without hearing it. You can't have conversations hardly without hearing it. You see things about race relations. And I'll just reiterate again, with all the racial tension that is going on in our nation right now, that there is one race. That is the human race. All right? God has made from one man every nation to dwell upon the face of the earth. So there is one race, and that's the human race. But we refer to whether you're black or white as what race you are. So I use that phrase here. Race relations or racial tension. Basically, this idea is that everyone gets treated the same no matter the color of their skin. Then you have terms like social justice, social issues. And that is, everyone gets treated the same no matter their class, whether they're upper, middle, or lower class. And then the last one is gender equality. Everyone gets treated the same no matter what sex you are, whether you're male or female. These are all hot topic items during our day. And there are a lot of false gospels that deal with these issues. If you think about movements like the Black Lives Matter movement, in essence, they're trying to say that we know how to deal with these issues. And there are other false gospels, like those who would believe in politicians and trust in politicians to say, if we get the right politicians in office, then they will know how to deal with these issues and everything's going to be better for our nation. Now, it is true that politicians make a difference and leaders make a difference, because the Bible says when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. So there is a difference that can be made with leadership. There are others who would want to unify us around things like the environment. That we should all get together on the environment, and if we would just do this, then we will preserve humanity and everything's going to be better. I can't wait for a politician to stand up and say, the reason I don't buy into all of the climate change is because I believe there's a God in heaven who will one day judge this earth, and that it's not about what man does here. That doesn't mean we don't try to steward and that we're not have some influence on our climate, but I tell you what, the person who's going to bring this earth to an end is God. And that God, through Jesus Christ, is going to judge this world in righteousness. And he's proved he's going to do that. How? By raising Jesus Christ from the dead. I promise you, whatever we do in this world, it will not change the timetable of God. He will have his way, and he will bring things to an end the way that he has said he is going to do so. So there's all these different gospels out there. But do you see in verse 28? The only true solution to the problems that we face and the division that we have is the straightforward gospel. He, in this verse, says in verse 26, "For you are all sons." In verse 27, he says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ." In verse 28, at the end of it, he says, "For you are all one." And then in verse 29, he says, "And if you are Christ," you plural, "if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed." You see, the only lasting solution to our racial, social, and gender issues in this world is Jesus Christ. So, where it really matters, there is no discrimination. And that place where it really matters is before Almighty God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 6, Paul writes and he says, "God shows personal favoritism to no man." God shows personal favoritism to no man. And I want to tell you this morning, church, that this ought to be a rebuke to racism among believers. Do you look down upon Arabs? Do you look down upon Hispanics? Do you look down upon blacks? Is there any seed of this in you that you think that you are superior to people who are of a different skin color than you are? I tell you, the gospel and the straightforwardness of the gospel ought to be a rebuke to any racism that is in us as believers. And you may say, "I've realized I have some racism in me." You know what you need to do? You need to repent of that and keep living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it pops up its ugly head, you need to repent of it and keep living for Jesus Christ. Just like you do any other sin in your life. Repent of it, confess it, and keep living for Jesus Christ. And for the church, it should be something that causes us to preach the good news. How will they hear without a preacher? And we are all the preachers as we go about our lives and our days, interacting with different people throughout the day, and we, as God permits, open our mouths and speak what we believe. Because the things that we've seen and heard have changed our lives, and we cannot help but speak of those things. So, having said this, I want you to know that there's no illusion that all people will one day be in Christ. We know this is not what the Bible tells us is going to happen. Few people will enter by the narrow gate. Many will go to the road on the road of destruction. There is and will be tares among the wheat. However, knowing this does not and cannot keep us from stewarding the message of the cross. This message of justification by faith in Jesus Christ. To those who are perishing, the message is foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Through the church, God is diffusing the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death. And to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. Here's what I would like to do, and you can join me if you would like to. I'm going to do a little scan through some parts of the New Testament to show you the unity of the church and what Christ intended. And we're going to go all the way to what Christ is going to do, what it's going to be like in the end. And we're going to kind of see what's in between. So in the next few minutes that we've got, we'll spend our time doing that. Turn with me to John chapter 10, verse 16. Now remember, our focal passage really here is Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. While I speak about some of these social, political issues a little bit, I dare not rob you of your time today by primarily speaking of these things. Because it's not all the issues of this day that we need to know about. We need to know what the Word of God says and how that Word then applies to those issues. You see, if you know what the truth is, you know when the issues arise, what to compare it to, and what how to judge those things. So John chapter 10, verse 16 is where we'll start. Jesus here says, I'll start at verse 15. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Notice in verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. In other words, he was talking about the Jews there. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Apparently what Jesus is talking about there, gathering in believers from throughout the world, bringing them into one flock, and having over them one shepherd, that shepherd being Christ. It is, in essence, the fulfillment of Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, Genesis 22, 18, where God made the promise to Abraham that through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That is happening and happens through Christ. John chapter 17 is the next place. If you flip there, we'll have to move pretty quickly. John 17. And I'll pick up at verse 20. John 17, verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. You notice how often the word one is used here? And that the world may know that you've sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. All right? That was Jesus' high priestly prayer, that he prayed not only for his disciples, but also for us. Because you saw there that he prayed for these who would believe in Christ through their word. The next place I would have you look this morning is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Give you a minute to get there. 1 Corinthians 10, you can find verse 16. Y'all got it? You got it. Say amen. All right. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one what? Bread and one what? Body. For we all partake of that one bread. All right, now you can drop down and go over to chapter 12. And we'll pick up at verse 12. Even though we could read the preceding verses of this chapter, we'll, for time's sake, not do that. But starting at verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12. He says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And then he goes on to talk about the different parts of the body. Some are honorable, some are less honorable. But if you'll drop down to verse 26, he says there, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. All right, so we'll stop there as far as in 1 Corinthians. Do you see the unity that's being proposed so far? Jesus prayed for this unity, and then because people are baptized into Christ, we are all in Christ, in the spiritual body of Christ, and should be in the physical body of Christ, the local church, and we are in the universal church. That's all believers throughout the world. But we've been baptized into that body, therefore we make up that one body. And there are different members, different gifts that are given. Now, you notice there that we are members of that one body, that we have been baptized by the one Spirit, that we've all drank into one Spirit. Doesn't matter if you're black or white, if you're male or female, if you're slave or free, no matter what social class that you're a part of, we all are part of the same body. We've all been blessed by the same Spirit of God. Okay? Now, go to Ephesians chapter 4. By the way, you know, it's one of my prayers and desire. I don't know if y'all notice this or not, but look around. We all look a whole lot alike. Y'all ever notice that? We all look a whole lot alike. I look forward to the day where we are a little bit more diverse in our color. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you're black or white, what color you are welcome at New Life Baptist Church to be a part of this body of Christ that is here. Y'all agree with that? I pray that God will bless us in that way one day. Ephesians 4. Look at this part where it talks about the unity of the Spirit. I'll start at verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the Lord, worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now notice how he describes, this unity of the Spirit. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, one body of Christ, and there is one Spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now let me restate maybe verse 5 again to give some clarity to it. There's one Lord Jesus Christ. There's one faith in Jesus Christ, and there's one baptism into Jesus Christ. Verse 6, there's one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So Paul lays out here the oneness of the church and the unity of the Spirit that we have a responsibility to endeavor to preserve. Now, in the last part, I would invite you to go to Revelation chapter 5. There are some other passages that we could look at, but I'll go ahead and jump to the end here as our time is drawing near an end. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. It says, in this wonderful passage that speaks of the worthiness of the Lamb of God, it says, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. If you can just remember 5, 9, and 7, 9, you can remember where these verses are. Here again, it says something similar, but he says in chapter 7, verse 9, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. So, go back to Galatians 3, verse 28 now. Please. And in view of the things that we just read, let us read Galatians 3, 28. And then as we leave here, let us interpret the many, many struggles in our society today in light of the need for the straightforward gospel. And that in essence is the only hope that we have for unity that will last. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And that's exactly why Christ died, to make us one in Him, to make us one with the Father. That's all I've got for you this morning. I've actually got a lot more that I could cover, but I feel like I've probably used all the time I have today. I guess the final plea for us is, if you need to respond to the Lord in obedience to His Word, to the gospel, through water baptism, because you know God's done a work to change you, then obey the gospel. And second, as we go out from here, let's be a people who preach the straightforward gospel and know the power of that straightforward gospel to unite the people of God for all of eternity. Join me in prayer, please. Lord, I pray that you would please forgive us. God, if we are currently failing to see that the gospel is our only hope, the only hope for our country, for the world, Lord, our trust cannot be in politicians or policies or government or, Lord, in any movement or in the environment. Lord, our hope is in Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you would please give us grace as your church, as this small part of your church, Lord, please give New Life Baptist Church, give me grace. Give us grace and give us love for our neighbor, Lord, that we would care about them enough to tell them about the hope that is found in Jesus. And Lord, I pray for each of us to obey your word and respond to your word according, Lord, to what is right and as you would have us to. Thank you, Father, again, for your love for us in Jesus and for the change, the radical change that is made and is making in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.